we can rejoice in the truth that God is working all things together for good. For example, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, one of the other ions. And basically, these provide fantastic reasons for rejoicing. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it is read here with regard to Christ. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Just again, pay particular attention to the exact words of the verse. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come. Now that's a promise. He shall come in like manner as you've seen him go. When he left, he went bodily, literally bodily. And as he ascended into heaven, he took with him the visible wounds that he received as a result of the work of the cross. But he ascended into heaven. And the promise is that he shall come, and he shall come in like manner as he departed. Now that's a promise, and yet when you think about this, his ascension provides for us a foreview of our own ascension into heaven. The reality of the upcalling is there in picture form. Whatever you see or understand the apostles' words to the Thessalonian church to mean or to display, like when he said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's a promise. And by the way, that's not simply a resurrection out of the grave, but it is said there a resurrection unto glory. Unto glory. The 17th verse in that chapter says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's a promise. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. And again, I say we don't know when, but we just know that the certainty of it is beyond any dispute. And by the way, when we think about the ascension of Christ and the picture that it provides for us as to with regard to our upcalling, it suggests the idea again of a reunion, because that 17th verse in 1 Thessalonians 4 said that when we are taken up into the clouds, we are there to meet the Lord in the air. Meet the Lord in the air. And I know that sometimes artists will convey poetically or some kind of with artistic license, so to speak, will sometimes make drawings or paintings or some kind of graphic images that depict that particular moment as Christ being one of a crowd of many who are returning from heaven to greet the saints as they are raised from the dead. And I know how that might warm the heart. No doubt it does. But really, when this event occurs, the only one visible to our eyes will be our Savior. And that's a promise we have from him. And basically, he's the only one that really matters when we finally do see him and arrive there. Everyone else who is there is a distant second compared to the impression that the visible Christ will make upon our hearts when we are taken into his presence. So I say with all that in mind, rejoice in this grand reunion. There's another aspect to this next ion, reunion. I suppose the letter to the Thessalonians probably is the best summary statement, but think what the Lord said himself in John 14. John 14, 3 said, if I go and prepare a place for you. Now, he did not use the word if. The word if is not there to suggest only a mere possibility, hypothetically speaking, but rather a statement of certainty. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and then the next word's reunion, and receive you. You. Now, isolate on the singularity of that statement. Even though he was speaking to a group of people, and it could be understood as the collective you, understand beside all of that, that this reunion will involve you, personally, individually. You. I will return, come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Consider the where and the there, how it affects and impacts you personally. The feature attraction, again, I say in this reunion, is Christ. Now, reunions aren't, with the exception of our family reunions from time to time, it's occasionally, it's nice to, on occasion to visit with people that you haven't seen for the past year, family members, people that you have a relationship with. You can sit down, converse with them, and you can share things with them. And other people, the reunion amounts just to eye contact. You don't speak so much other than a hiya and how do you and all that kind of stuff, but there are so many people there to focus in on. And generally it will, for most people, finally settle down to a reunion, a smaller in size than the entire number that's there. And yet when we think about this reunion, the where and there of, and the individual import of what Christ said about receiving you, there you will be at reunion time, the special focus of His attention, which is indicative of and underscores the reality of His deep love for you as a person. You will not be simply one among many that sort of gets swept by Him in mass, so much as you will be the special object of His favor. He who set His heart upon you in the councils of eternity relative to the doctrine of election and then the end doctrine of predestination is the same God who will favor you with special individual attention at the reunion time. And how nice it is to know, and I don't know how all this plays out, but it will be nice to be able to have constant access to Him at any time in glory. And I thought about that too. You know, he will still be in eternity the man, Christ Jesus. How is it that a man, one man, will be able to grant access to numberless multitudes of people and do them justice all across the board without partiality? Can't figure that out. I don't know. It's just nice to know that that when the time comes and we have that opportunity to visit with Him for a moment or for a protracted period of time, that we have that opportunity. So reunion is a reason to rejoice. Rejoice evermore. And then who can fairly and adequately grasp our Lord's exaltation? Now think about this. If I put you to the test, you could probably name 5 people in 10 seconds who are with all their heart trying to be the most powerful, the most influential, the smartest, the brightest political entity in the world. Take your pick. The egos are immense. But think about the exaltation of Christ. In Matthew chapter 24, if you'll look there for a moment, Matthew 24 verse 30 and verse 31, Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31. In this context, we're talking tribulation, according to verse 29. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The verse following, He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. When we think about that, His enthronement, one thing we know for certain in the midst of all of the uncertain circumstances that surround us is that one day, all of the competition for political ascendancy will be over, and there will be one king and one king only that will rule planet Earth. And that will be the Lord Jesus Christ. We know how things are going to finish. He is the King eternal, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one who will end all political aspirations. He will end all political abuses. He will end every political bit of arrogance Himself. Now we know that's how it's going to end. What we don't know, and should not in any wise be cause for concern on our part, concern in the sense of panic and foolish decisions and things like that, is that we know how God's going to work this out and ultimately what's going to happen. The Lord, in Revelation 19, verse 6, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Psalm 97:1 says, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the nations be glad thereof. There's not a man on earth, not a man on earth, not a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. There is not a man who is the head of any nation on earth that, from a biblical point of view, could rise up even today and satisfy the masses. Even though, when the church is lifted into heaven, there will be such one personality who will come to center focus and will, by deception and force, captivate the imagination of the masses to their own doom. But right now, there's not a person on earth, not a person on earth, who could rise above everybody else head and shoulders and satisfy the mass of people so that the nations of the world would rejoice and be glad. As one day, when Christ Himself is seated on the throne of His kingdom, then the nations will rejoice and be glad. Only then. So whatever expectations you may have for now, put them off to the side, view them through the lens of the Scripture, and take comfort in this and provide for yourself tremendous fuel to rejoice when you think that God has made certain promises that affect us, promises that have been uttered by a God who cannot lie, and as we pointed out on Sunday morning, a God who is not impotent. What He says He will do, He will do. Ours, to walk by faith. We don't need to know everything that God knows to be comfortable and at ease now. We just need to know that God has it all under control. It's just fine. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and we have so much to be happy about and to rejoice over. Again, Lord, we probably can't get to the depth of forgiveness. How a thrice holy God could ever forgive the rebels, the sinners that we are. And then we are made joyful to know that there had come one to enter into our place of condemnation, none but the Lord Jesus Himself, and offered His own body on a tree, that all of your wrath would be poured out upon Him, who was sinless and spotless, who only went around doing good, works of compassion. And all of our sins were laid on Him. And because of His work of substitution, all who believe on Him and trust Him may have sins forgiven. And so, Lord, anything that might have separated us previously from You for today, tomorrow, and for eternity has been forever taken off the plate. Thanks for the work and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might take comfort in this, that we have a book, a divine revelation, Your purposes and plans, Your whisperings to us right in print. Help us to avail ourselves to them. And thank God for the Spirit of God who shines the light on the Word of God that we can understand it. Then, Lord, give us the joy and the pleasure of being bold in the faith, and give us these opportunities to witness to people. Help us, Lord, to be able to balance the truth with compassion. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You will give us the joy of seeing people that live around us and have contact with us come to the Savior. And we would ask also, dear Heavenly Father, that we might have the joy of seeing your people come again to the Word, be humbled in the Word, and that you might be pleased to begin and sustain a revival to the day of the rapture. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your prayer requests. Please make your